You're listening to Breakaway Wealth, the show designed to help you build wealth faster, think bigger, and break out of the herd. Now, here's your host, Jim Oliver.
Welcome back, Breakaway Wealth. I'm your host, Jim Oliver, and with me today, my co-host and my golf partner coming up here in a big tournament, Nick Kosko. Welcome, Nick.
Well, thanks for having me, and I hope that we deliver better in this podcast recording than I'm likely to when we play golf together here soon.
All right, now I'm going to have to change the subject of this podcast because what you believe is going to happen, Nick, is going to happen. So I need your attitude to change with that because I've been playing some bad golf, but you are not going to believe how good I'm going to play when we play in this tournament because I'm going to play lights out. It's going to be like Dakota Dunes on that one day times two. Shoot under par.
Here's the thing we already talked about a little bit. I'm going in with a particular mindset. I haven't had the reps, which is what we're going to talk about today. I haven't had the recency of reps, but I do know the process. I do know the process to set myself up for a better likelihood of a good result than a bad one because we've been through this before. Right. And so the expectations are in alignment and we'll be fine. I'm making a joke, of course, but hey, that walked us right into what we were noodling about talking about today, which is what?
Which is volume negates luck.
Awesome.
And Nick, so what I mean is people think, well, you know, so-and-so has 500 doors, 5,000 doors. They have 50 businesses. They're a billionaire. They're a decamillionaire. They're just worth $50 million, just $50 million. Okay, so like, and they think they got lucky. Man, if I could just find that one business that would just turn it all around, then I'm going to be okay. Like, I'm going to be great. But that's not how it works, right? I mean, it's not how it works. I mean, in the Bible, it talks about being forged in fire, right? So what does that mean? Well, you could say, hey, you know, you look at people in the Bible that struggled, that went through all this adversity, and that made them stronger, right? And that's part of it. It really is. But that struggle could be in a lot of different ways. So if you weren't put into that adversity as a kid, put yourself in that adversity as an adult. So what I mean is jump in the river.
So, you know, it's funny you reference the Bible and purification. I mean, back in the old days, or we do it now, we take silver, we get it really, really hot. All right. It doesn't happen in a flash, right? It's a process, right? Of removing the imperfections and the impurities in the silver so that we have this phenomenal result, this pure silver. And to your point, you don't just wake up, you're not born with. And not too many people are born with a silver spoon in their hand. And frankly, I don't think either of us would want that. But it is that process that gets us the results that we want. So talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, you know, and I love the vat of silver. And I can't remember the author, but there was an author of one of the devotionals that our group does. And he talked about that God is like looking in this vat of silver, which is us. And he keeps heating it up and removing the impurities until he can see his image in that silver. And that's kind of what our lives are really about. So what I'm thinking is there's so many people out there right now and they listen to the noise. We talk about noise all the time. So they don't take action. And, you know, interest rates are too high. And I think that right now, you know, real estate is this and real estate is that. And, you know, businesses right now, you know, people, how would I do this? How would I buy this? How would I not? You know, like all of these things. Okay. And throughout history, there's always, no matter when it is, no matter what pinpoint you put, there's always opportunity, right? And there are people that take the opportunity and there are the people that listen to the noise and get scared. So you can't be afraid to fail. You cannot be afraid to fail.
You remember, I don't remember how many times he tried, but Thomas Edison inventing the light bulb, he didn't get it right the first time. I think he tried like 10,000 different ways of doing it. But even if it was 100 ways, it's think about the guy that we've talked with that was doing land flipping or wholesaling. You know what system works? The one that you're consistent with. If you send out a mailer and you send out 100 mailers and you get no responses, well, yeah, it's a fail if that's where you stop.
Yeah.
Right? If the process is over for you. But maybe the metrics say, hey, for every 1,000 mailers you send out, you get one response. But you got to be consistent with it, right? It's finding the system that works. It's finding, maybe you're a frontiersman, right? You're the first person to ever send out mailers, okay? Ever. You have nobody to model off of, right? Do you think that you're going to strike it rich with the first batch of mailers you send out when you're looking for real estate? No. You think our buddy Logan in Wisconsin got the first person he approached to sell them his property?
Nope.
But you just figure it out. I was talking to our buddies down in Alabama 2 days ago. We were talking about Audible recordings.
Yeah.
He goes, hey, do we put out the hard copy first? Or if we don't release Audible for a couple months, is that a bad thing? I was like, I don't think it matters one lick of a difference. He goes, hey, did you have like a coach and like talked you through that? Because he was like, frankly, enjoying listening. And I was like, man, we just tried it. We took a swing of the bat, right?
Yeah.
And I think the results were fairly positive, but by all means, there's things we would do differently if the next time we do it.
Next time we'll do it better.
Yeah,
but so that volume negates luck, because we're always thinking that what we're looking for is luck. What we're looking for is perfection. And, you know, Nick, I can't remember the book, okay? But there's a book, and I might butcher this, so anybody that remembers the book and the story, just, you know, this is my version of it from
whatever. If you haven't picked up, Jim and details are not synonymous with
it. That's right. Well, look at my personality profile. It says that I'm a visionary, that I do that, but backing it up is not my strength.
Yeah.
But so in this book, I may even have the, like, premise of this wrong. But there's two classes, right? There's one class, they're going to get graded on writing the perfect paper at the end of the semester.
Okay.
That's their only thing. The other class, they get graded on the number of papers that they can write. Doesn't matter how good they are. So at the end of the semester, what happens? Who has the better paper? Because these guys are going to do perfect. They're going to just work on it. They're going to say, this is my Moby Dick. Or the person that just writes as many papers as they can write, and they don't care if they're good or bad. They're just writing.
Yeah, probably the person that kept at it. Kept
volume negates luck. Also, I would say volume negates skill, because you could be a way better writer than me, and you write it one time, and I write it 1,000 times.
Right.
I promised you, even as lacking in skill as I have in writing, mine's going to be better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm going to massage it. I'm going to reread it. I'm going to perfect it. So if we relate that to abundance and freedom and wealth, right, we can say, oh, you know what? That person, they were born with a silver spoon in their mouth. Or you know what? That guy, he was lucky because he had so much adversity. You know, I didn't have that. You know, that made them stronger, that blah, 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 right? You can all, my point to that is, somebody is better than you, worse than you, you can create in your mind why they have an advantage over you. She's prettier than me. She's taller than me. She's shorter than me. I mean, you can always compare and think they got lucky.
Comparison is the thief of joy.
Exactly. Now, what I love is when you actually sit down with somebody and it's somebody and they say, hey, I have, $500 million of real estate. How'd you do that? Well, let me take you way back to the beginning.
Sure.
Let me tell you about the 10 things that blew up that almost bankrupted me or did bankrupt me 5 times. You know, you hear crazy stories, but I learned something and I got better and I learned something and I got better and I learned something and I got better and I just would not quit.
Our good buddy and client, Sam, here in Louisville, he'll be at our Wednesday mastermind sitting around, and he's a funny character. He's always dropping in a bunch of quips, but invariably there's somebody sitting there that's just trying to get started. And that person will ask, hey, how do I get into this? And Sam's got a famous little response. He just says, do a thing.
Yeah.
So you say all the time, take action, do a deal. Go do a $10,000 wholesale deal, a $5,000 wholesale deal, partner with somebody, buy a rental. So what if you own it for a month or 10 years? Get in the batter's box, take a swing, because here's the thing. You're going to learn something from that process without a shadow of a doubt.
So let me give you an example of that, and it's kind of a fun one, right? And it's one that I had no chance at actually making happen, right? Okay. I mean, there's always a chance, but had no experience. I remember I was talking to like a new neighbor, and he was in the airline business, the cargo airline business, right? And he yep. said, hey, guy that owns it's going to sell it. Cool. He goes, you interested? I said, you know, I am interested. You know, he says, how much, you know, and I said, how much is he, you know, what do you think he's asking? I think around 1.5 billion. I'm like, cool. Okay. Yeah. So when can I get a meeting? Right. So I get a meeting, and I think I've told this story before, but I get a meeting and we're talking about $1.5 billion. Right.
Right.
Now, I'm thinking in my mind, how do I put this deal together? I don't know, but I know people that could know. I know I met a lady that did the British Airways merger. I'll start with her. She works for Bain. She's like a partner at Bain. And then, you know, I got friends that have a B in front of their net worth. I mean, you know, maybe is this something that's interesting? So what was funny is I just went into it and I, you know, taking notes. I'm acting like I'm, you know, trying to think of smart questions to ask. I probably failed at that. And then the next like round or the next thing was, it was JP Morgan, their representatives, and me. And it came down, you know, it's like,
right, right. Like,
oh, I think they probably could find 1.5 billion today, right? Me?
Right.
And so anyway, here's the really good news is that thing crashed and burned. So I'm glad I didn't buy it.
Right.
But number two is, did I learn something from it? I did. But what's more important is I'm smiling about it because you know what? I wasn't nervous. I wasn't like, didn't feel like a failure. I had fun.
Yeah.
I had fun sitting there asking stupid questions. I had fun sitting in there. And I talk about sometimes buying a business and I'm negotiating against four Harvard attorneys, Harvard educated attorneys. You know, here's this 1.2, you know, 1.3 GPA in high school guy negotiating against them. Right.
Sure.
Well, I won. Now, was I lucky? No, it wasn't the first time I had done that.
Sure.
And so it was volume. One failure, one success. And you know what? I still had fun in both of them. I probably in the success was more nervous than the failure.
Yeah. It's just, don't be afraid. We talk about all this all the time. On the other side of fear is everything you've ever wanted.
Yeah.
And the only thing that cures fear is action. And we're huge advocates of partnership. Find somebody that you can do it with, right? What are the other reasons, Jim, or are there other reasons why people don't do this?
Well, I think it's can be time, right? They don't think they have enough time. It's really excuses, right? We can all come up with excuses, right? I could go to the gym and, you know, today I go to the gym and I'm doing incline dumbbells. And okay. What I'm doing is a reverse pyramid, 6, 8, 10, 12. So I'm starting with the heaviest. So I get 75-pound dumbbells, but the 70s aren't there. Some dude's got them over there on the floor, and it doesn't return them. I mean, it's not courteous. And so I can get mad. I can go, well, you know, then I'm just going to do something different.
Right.
No, what I did is I went, okay, you know what? I'll do 6 of the 75. Instead of doing 8 of the 70s, I'll do 10 of the 6. I just upped it to, right? Sure. I just adapted. And did I get a good workout in? I feel like I did. And so that's what it is. It's adapting when things go wrong, but it's also enjoying it because I just said, hey, a different workout. Now I'm going to go 6, 10, 12, 14.
Yeah.
And you know what? I was tired at that after that 14.
What is it? The Marines to say improvise, adapt, and overcome?
Yeah. Like, love that. You know, that could be your motto, your guidance for life. And there's a reason, right? Because you don't know what's going to happen. And so the reason that you fear it is there's one thing, okay? Like if I don't have a vision of what I want, that I believe, and yep. I know I've told you this a million times, but like when I was a kid, I thought I was delusional because I thought I was the only one laying in bed. And it was a way for me to sleep when I just couldn't sleep. As a kid, there's a lot of stress. There are a lot of things going on.
Right.
And I would just create this vision of what my life was going to be someday. And I thought, oh, I can't tell anybody that. They're going to think I'm crazy. Like, they're going to think I'm stupid and crazy and delusional. But I was learning to visualize, right?
Sure.
And it's kind of like this. So I'm visualizing myself as a scratch to plus two golfer.
Okay.
And right now, my handicap's higher than it's been in a long time, right?
Which is good for us next week.
Which is good for us in this tournament. So I say this to you all the time. I've never accomplished any goal that I've ever set out to in my life. And sure. The reason is that my goal is to be plus two. And if I'm a one handicap, I fail. But it's still pretty good, right? So if every time that I go to play golf, I think I'm going to break par. Okay, so that's my vision. That's my goal. And if I shot 75, then I'd go, you know what? That's pretty good. That's sure. better than 98% of the golfers in the world, right? Amateur yep. golfers. But here's the critical thing. When I double bogey the first hole, I can't pack up my tent and go home. I can't lay down in the fetal position on the green and cry. I got to go, all right, now what are you going to do? I got to look in the mirror, not literally, but figuratively. Now what are you going to do? And it's easy to say, I'm going to bury the next hole. What if you don't?
Next,
right?
Favorite four-letter word, next.
So I remember when I was coaching baseball and football, and we would lose a game and the kids would be upset and I'd say there's 3 billion people in China that don't care, right? I mean, there's 3 billion people in China that don't care. Nobody cares that you lost.
Sure.
Now, you got to forget it and you got to forgive yourself for making that double bogey. You got to forgive yourself for missing that block, fumbling that ball, because, you know, how many times have you seen in major basketball is probably a great one because, you know, it comes down, and I've never played basketball in a game in my life. Okay. Oh, but funny. It comes down to this shot, right? Which I'm sure that's not the way to do it is in, if it's in, you're the hero. If it's yep. out, you're the goat.
Yep.
Right. Or you get nervous. You don't make the pass in time and time runs out and it's not that mistake, right? It's not that mistake that's the issue. It's what do you do after that?
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you sharing that stuff. Those are things that we talk about morning, noon, and night. It's the things that we're talking to about our kids. They're always great reminders. We always pick up new nuggets in here in these conversations. And I hope everyone that's listening can take away at least one little nugget out of this. Is there anything else you want to share on this front today, Jim?
No, you know what, Nick? I want to keep this short, and I want to like honestly cut it off here because I want you to just think about that. And it's look, you brought up kids. I did this the wrong way when I was a parent. I did it the wrong way, right? I didn't want my kids to suffer. But like, hey, if you say, hey, we got to do something, you know, like at the house, like you know, you have a new farm you're living on. Mm-hmm. If you just said to your 7-year-old, hey, feed the cows,
sure.
Well, how do I feed the cows? You figure it out.
Like,
guess what? He's got to figure out how to feed those cows.
That's right.
Because if you don't feed the cow, then the cow doesn't grow, doesn't get fat, and then we're not going to have meat.
That's right.
Like, you got to see that. And I guarantee you, especially that 7-year-old, he's going to figure out how to feed those cows. But you can't be afraid of them failing.
That's right.
Because then when they're adults, you're going to be those people that are afraid to fail, and you won't do anything, and you'll make excuses. Well, you didn't tell me how to feed the cow. No, but I told you it had to be done.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. I would say that is, and if your parents coddled you when you were a kid, then don't coddle yourself. Put yourself in a tough situation.
Yeah. Hey, before we send it out with our mentor and one of our heroes, Earl Nightingale, I just want to remind everybody, hey, if you're not on the Create Tailwind community, you need to be. community.createtailwind.com, or just go to your app store, type in Create Tailwind, all one word. Today, on the day we're recording this podcast, we actually have a live seminar that'll be recorded and posted on there called IBC and Taxes. We've got a phenomenal guest, client and friend of ours, Dave Osteride, who's a CPA, answering questions, commonly missed things for investors. So we encourage you to visit the community, watch the recording of the live event, and dig into the many more coming events that we're going to have on there with a plethora of value-add guests. So before we send it away, any last words, Jim?
Nope. I think that's a great reminder. And I smile when you say the community, because we have big plans for this community, and it's volume, not luck, because we've made some mistakes on building this community. And guess what? We're not going anywhere. It will be what we say. It will be better than what we say. And it's all going to be because of everyone listening to this show and everyone joining and diving into this community. Give us the problems that you have. Give us the questions that you have. Show up at noon on Mondays for our live 15 minutes. Hey, I got a question you can't answer.
Bring
do
it. It.
Let's just do it. Because you know what? It's all about how you think. And so thank you, Nick. And take it away, Earl.
Here's the key to success and the key to failure. We become what we think about. Now let me say that again. We become what we think about.
Once again, thank you so much for taking the time to hear what was shared on today's podcast. If you are looking to discover new wealth building strategies, then go to community.createtailwind.com. That's community.createtailwind.com to join our free online community and get access to free courses and in-depth training videos designed to help you build wealth and break away from the herd. Click the link in the show notes to access the community today. Thanks again for listening.